to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to another sizzling broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, July 28th, and we are in a hot and humid Memphis, Tennessee, as we broadcast to you from our flagship radio station here in downtown Memphis, and also going out to the AMFM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. I say sizzling, and tonight's broadcast will be in more ways than one. Number one, as we always try to do, I think we have just a barn burner in store for you over the course of the next 3 hours. But in addition to that, once again, the air conditioning is out here at the radio station, so we are going to be sweating just like the good old days. We're going to be out doing our work, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be, we'll see how we're feeling about 3 hours into this one. Anyway, I got an email here. You know, we continue to get fan mail from listeners all over the world. We've had a recent surge of interest in Hungary. All those Hungarian political cesspool fans, Keith Alexander, they're chiming in addition to tuning in. But I got this one, which is absolutely outstanding. I mean, this really just hits the left where it hurts. I mean, you know that this radio show is always subject to scorn and criticism and hysterical attacks from the left, and I got this email as a result from one of those attacks. It says, Dear Mr. Edwards, I recently discovered your program due to hearing criticism of it. And it's if as though I discovered a long-lost relative. I agree with almost everything I hear, which is a rarity, and have been listening to every broadcast of the year over the past few weeks in your broadcast archives. Thank you so much for your work. And Keith, that comes to us from a new listener, Mark. And there you have it. So the attacks have brought in yet another curious and objective observer, and he tunes in and he says, you know what, you're not like they say at all. I agree with everything you're saying, and we get that all the time.
Well, they say the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Basically, the best publicity we get is from our enemies, the SPLC, the ADL, Media Matters, people like that. Are, you know, whenever they come out against us, we see a big bump in our listenership. And that's the best thing that can go on, because quite frankly, you know, we are unique. We are the only people I know that are on mainstream radio that have the message that we have, that are paleoconservative and unabashedly pro-white.
Well, we are that, and we're going to be bringing you that unique perspective on a variety of stories this evening, in addition to giving you two great guests before the time is up this evening. And first, let's just get right to the Olympics. Opening ceremonies last night, entertaining on one hand. They certainly put on a pageant. I actually did like the Queen Elizabeth and James Bond skit that they did. Other stuff, not so humorous. But the big story out of the Olympics, as far as I'm concerned, occurred a few days before the games even started. You've got this Greek goddess, Voula Papachristou, and she has been expelled from the Olympics despite earning a spot. You know that this young 20-something-year-old female, a celebrated triple jumper, was expected to do very well in the games this year. You know that this young lady had been training her entire life to participate in the Olympics. Do you have any idea? I mean, do you know how hard it is to be competitive and to be the best in your, you know, recreation flag football league? I mean, to be the best. Easier said than done. Imagine being a world-class athlete that qualifies for the Olympics. It's something that you live, eat, breathe, sleep. It's your whole life. Well, a week before the games began, this young lady, again, despite earning a spot there, to compete in the Olympics, was expelled from the Olympics because of a joke that she told on Twitter. So now it's apparent that, just like everything else, the Olympics these days is more about what you think than your physical ability. So what did this woman say? What did this, and again, she's not a political partisan in any way, and even if she was, that would be her right. She has the right to be politically outspoken. There's nothing, there's no law that says you can't have a political opinion or tell jokes if you are an athlete. She did nothing wrong. She had every right to say whatever was on her mind. But what did she say that was so bad, so racist? That's what they're calling it, of course. What did she say that was so racist to get expelled from the Olympics? Well, what she said was, with all the Africans in Greece the West Nile mosquitoes will be able to have some home-cooked meals. Greece, like most of the developed first world countries, the European nations, has their problems with third worlders crashing their gates and coming in illegally. You have West Africans in Greece. And she said, with all the Africans here, the West Nile mosquitoes will have home-cooked meals. Now, that's all she said. And that gets like just this incredibly bizarre reaction. It says, you know, those ideas have no place in the Olympic movement, so said the Olympic committee. And so with that one comment, she's gone. And thank God, you know, the Greek politicians piled on her too. And thank God they were able to do so, because I can't think of anything in Greece more deserving of the attention of Greek politicians than jokes someone says on Twitter. But here you got it, Keith. Despite being one of the best in her sports, she will not be representing her country in the Olympics because of her political beliefs. In the meantime, it's continues to be open season to mock, ridicule, and otherwise denigrate white people.
Whatever happened to free speech? I am just flabbergasted that in England, where they're hosting the Olympics this year, there's no outcry against what is happening to this person who's just exercising their God-given right of free speech. Again, this shows liberals for who and what they are. They are not benevolent. They are certainly not tolerant. They are, everything they do is driven not by love, but by hatred, by animus. And when given the opportunity, they are the worst totalitarians, the worst repressors, the worst haters that the world has ever known. You know, the communist Soviet Union and Red China were not known for their great tolerance and their great love of diversity. How they can continue to get away with saying that they want to celebrate diversity and nobody really challenges them just shows you how complete the left, and that's basically the Jewish left's lock on the media is. Everything they say is Orwellian newspeak. So consequently, I am just, you know, that this should be something that is, you know, met with nothing but complete condemnation from every civilized nation in the world, but instead the silence is deafening.
Well, Keith, it gets worse. The plot thickens when it comes to this young female athlete, Vula Papachristou. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, do yourself a favor, if I do say so myself, and as a married man, but feast your eyes on her picture, and we put a picture of her for you to complement the news story here that we're covering at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But you got to take a look at the new face of Nazism. That's right, Vula Papachristou, for telling that joke. It took about 24 hours for the ne'er-do-wells in the global media to upgrade her from a racist to a Nazi. She's getting called a Nazi now. A Nazi for telling a joke. And Keith, we're about to go to a break, so make it quick, and then we'll get back to this story because there's more to it.
Well, know that she really hit rock bottom when they describe her as a white southern citizen of the United States of America.
Yeah, she's not quite there yet. Nazi is still above a southerner. So as far as the totem pole of political correctness is concerned. Anyway, we got to take a break. More on Vula Papachristou and the story out of the Olympics right after this.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Kicking things off tonight with a little Olympic coverage, although not the kind that you might expect. We're not talking about the winners and losers and medalists of the games that started today in earnest. No, we're talking about the politically correct side of the Olympics and this young woman, for no reason whatsoever, being expelled from the Olympics because of a joke that she told. Meanwhile, I mean, do you remember in the 68 Olympics, Keith, when the black winners were doing the black power salute, you know, fists clenched over their heads, and oh, that was just great. I mean, thank God they have the ability to, you know, practice their freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Yeah, a little bit of a double standard, maybe?
Well, let's get right down to it. Who is in control of the news media? The sports media is just a segment of the news media. Who's in charge of that? I'll give you a multiple choice on this. Southern Baptists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Laplanders, or Jews. And, you know, you've got three choices, and the first two don't count. Of course, Jews are the driving force, the yeast that makes the dough rise in liberalism. We've said that many times in the past. And as a result, because of Jewish domination of the news media, you're only going to get one side of any political or cultural issue, and that's going to be the leftist or the liberal side. And as a result, a lot of people that have no curiosity or they've been bludgeoned into submission, like a lot of people here in the South have, by the constant victories that have been tallied up on the leftist side of the ledger, they just don't see any further. They don't think any further. They absorb it. And this is what the big problem is. We've got to find people. We've got to have alternative news sources like this program.
Well, since you brought up our Jewish friends, I want to tell a little bit more about this story because I've connected a dot with the Israeli Olympic team. Now, again, this woman, Vula Papachristou, the Greek triple jumper, being called a Nazi now. She was kicked out of the Olympics for making that comment alone on Twitter about the West Nile mosquitoes, telling that joke. Now, a day later, they found out that she supported a party in Greece. Now, this is no fringe party. This is a party that has won a few seats in the Greek parliament. Now, think Nick Griffin with the British National Party. Nick Griffin, who has been on this show a few times. He is an elected member of European Parliament. the counterpart to the British National Party in Greece is a party that this woman supports, and they want to close the borders. They want to put Greeks first. Greece for Greeks is, you know, one of their slogans. And they found out that she was supportive of this very mainstream political party, who is achieving electoral success, and that got her elevated all the way up into the realm of Nazi. I guess banning her from participation in the Olympics wasn't punishment enough. Now she has to deal with the tarnishment of being called a Nazi. And to label this woman a Nazi for simply telling a joke and for supporting a mainstream political party that seeks to put Greece first proves, Keith, that the anti-white zealots of cultural Marxism have absolutely no restraint. Their hatred knows no bounds. When a question is asked, what should they do? Their only answer is more anti-white hatred. The only question will be, when will these senseless and baseless attacks lose their ability to silence people? And again, folks, do yourself a favor. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Look up the article entitled Greek Goddess Now Being Called a Nazi. And take a look at this woman and ask yourself if that fits the script that they're trying to write here. She has the face and body that can launch 1,000 ships. And they're dismissing her and dismissing the party that she supports as an extremist political party. That's what they said. For merely suggesting that Greece should restrict immigration. Now, in the meantime, here's the point. In the meantime, the Likud party in Israel, the ruling party of Israel, is actually deporting Africans from their country. They're not talking about it. They're doing it, going so far as to conduct door-to-door searches while calling them a cancer. Benjamin Netanyahu said that the African immigrants in Israel are a cancer to Israeli society. All right, the Israeli Olympic team is still competing. No Jews have been expelled from the Olympics. In the meantime, this woman has been. Now, don't get me wrong. I support what the Israelis are doing there. I think it's a healthy policy. But again, I take issue with the double standard.
Well, I'm not even going to support it because the double standard doesn't bring any illumination or any sense of regret to the left. The left is dominated and driven by Jewish power, influence, and money. If you don't know that, you need to listen to this show more often. And because of that, it's incredible how when you bring up this incredible hypocrisy, this incredible double standard, you just get shrugs from Jews typically. They say, well, so what? You know, we're Jewish. We're not expected to live by the same rules that we prescribe for the rest of mankind. Now, everybody except white Gentiles is not only allowed but expected and even encouraged to have a sense of racial solidarity. Miss Papachristou, I am glad to say, has not had her cultural and racial immune system disabled by the left. Not yet. And a lot of people haven't, despite the best efforts of the leftist media. Now, what she's doing is entirely healthy, entirely natural. It's entirely instinctive to the entire human race. This is the way our Paleolithic and Neolithic ancestors were able to tell friend from foe. And as a result, we need to call a spade a dirty shovel on this and say, I'm sorry, Jews apparently are allowed to have a sense of racial, ethnic, religious solidarity, and no one complains, no one talks about getting them kicked out of the Olympics. Remember when the South African Olympic team was not allowed to compete during the height of the anti-apartheid hysteria? Well, under all that pressure, South Africans, like so many white Gentiles, got guilt-tripped into caving in, and ever since then, South Africa, rather than being the breadbasket of Africa, has become the basket case of Africa, and again, nobody is reporting on this decline because the left doesn't want you to know the truth. They know the truth will set you free.
Keith Alexander, that is what he brings to this radio program, everybody. Keith Alexander at his best, in fact. Well, Keith, the so-called controversy, the manufactured controversy surrounding this beautiful young lady is hardly the only political correct manifestation coming out of London. You know, Mitt Romney's doing a big overseas tour, and he stopped in London, and a couple of days before he departed for London, one of his advisors said that Governor Romney was looking forward to his trip to London because the United States and Great Britain shared a common Anglo-Saxon heritage. Now, that comment, that fact that America and the UK, England, shares a common Anglo-Saxon heritage and ancestry, was dismissed as racist. And it was printed in the London Daily Mail, which is one of the biggest newspapers servicing London, one of the biggest newspapers in the world. It said this comment, it said basically, it put a disclaimer saying that the comment you were about to read was so racially insensitive you might not want to even read the article. And the racist comment worthy of that deterrent was America and the UK shares a common ancestry. Keith, you got 45 seconds.
Well, there may be some hope for Old Mitt after all, you know, if he is getting this type of reaction from the leftist elite. And quite frankly, I really think he's part of the leftist elite. But again, they have to set up these straw men to make you think there's really a conflict between the Democrats and the Republicans. What is happening here is that I'm sure most of the people in England, most of the native English, probably have no objection whatsoever to that. But we have the wrong elite in charge, not only in Europe and England, but in America. We need to swap elites. We need to get these leftist elites that hate the majority of their citizens and want them to give up their wealth, drive them to the bottom of the totem pole economically, socially, and in every other way. They need to be replaced, and we need to realize that they, the elite, are the enemy. The elites that run our media, the elites that run our government.
The day that saying America and England share a common ancestry and that becomes a racist screed, folks, everybody's a racist. We'll be back right after this with more.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
We've been working hard.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the radio program, everybody, the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander retreating to the green room for a couple of segments now. He'll be back at the top of the second hour because we are welcoming back to our show right now a man we introduced you to just last week. Returning to our program tonight is American Free Press columnist Pat Shannon. Mr. Shannon, as you'll remember, is the author of 6 books, including the most recent title, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. Learn more about Pat's work and buy the book at patshannon.com, P-A-T-S-H-A-N-N-A-N, patshannon.com. Pat, welcome back.
Well, we got to change that to .net.
Oh, patshannon.net, absolutely. And I have it actually linked correctly at our website, so let's just get it straight here.
Both of them used to work, and for some strange reason, somebody failed to pay a bill on the .com, so...
PatShannon.net will get you there just as quickly, ladies and gentlemen, so go there.
Another important thing to remember, James, is that mine is the Jewish spelling with an A-N in Shannon rather than in the Irish way of O-N.
Yeah, we'll let it slide, though.
All right.
All right, my friend. PatShannon.net, everybody, check him out. Pat, I have a lot of questions to ask you about the book. I mean, last week you were on, we kind of did an introductory interview. We talked about the book a little bit, talked about some of your work for American Free Press, and we encourage everybody to subscribe to that fine publication so they can read you every week. But very quickly, did you catch the beginning of the show tonight, the previous 2 segments where we were talking about what's coming out of London this week?
Yes, I did, and I'd already looked at your site and at the lovely Greek lady, and I sent it to Pete Papoulos of ours, who does happens to be a Greek native, Greek American, and I sent to him, and he copied me on what he sent back to you. He sent back a long and very astute blog on that, so you might want to check for it.
I absolutely will, and I'll look forward to that. But, you know, we're going to talk about your book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. And in addition to the media lying to us about everything, they also have the power to suppress and make people cower. Now, you look at this woman. Now, I'll tell you what really gets me about this story more than anything else, in addition to the situation where she's not able to compete in something that she's worked for, obviously, her whole life, for saying something that they disagreed with or disapproved of. But she's been made an example of. Now, you know, you look at this media-manufactured controversy here in America right now. One of the biggest stories this week is Chick-fil-A. Well, Chick-fil-A takes a very traditional stand with regards to sodomite marriage. And apparently, the media would have you believe that this is one of the biggest stories in America because it's just so many people against Chick-fil-A. Well, obviously, it's only a few people against Chick-fil-A, and they are the people in the media. Everybody else agrees with us. But when you stand up and stand out or say something that is politically incorrect, like this woman has done, you pay the price. And when you pay the price, many, 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 many more times people are afraid to stand up and speak out thereafter. So what I'm saying is the people agree with us. That's why I brought up the Chick-fil-A story. And 93% of the people of Tennessee voted to ban sodomite marriage in 2006 when it came up for public referendum. 93%, okay? That's almost the margin, you know, the people who voted against it almost didn't make up the margin of error. People agree with us. This lady said something, but they are afraid to speak up and stand out because they don't want to pay the price this lady did. Am I onto something here, Pat? I mean, you know, She's been sacrificed on the altar of multiculturalism, and people don't want to pay that price.
Well, of course you're on to something. Let me tell you, I think probably the best thing we can do to combat that adversary, the media, is what my wife and I did today. About 5-6 hours ago, we stopped at Chick-fil-A in the north side of Atlanta, went in, and I told the receptionist who sat us, and I also told our waitress who took our order. I said, I want you to tell your management that we are here for one reason, and that is because of the Christian stand Chick-fil-A took against perverts.
God bless you, Pat Shannon. I tell you what, folks, buy his book if for that reason alone, buy the book. But you know, I eat at Chick-fil-A all the time. It's great. It's a Southern chain, a Christian chain, and I'm going to eat there a lot more now. Hell, if I have to eat all my meals there, I will, because they are the only ones standing up and doing anything. And God bless them for that. I mean, they're the attempt is being made to sacrifice them in the same way that this young woman was sacrificed. But anyway, that leads me directly to the book that you've written. We know that the media manipulates, that the media manufactures, that they lie about stories. And that is what your book is all about. Now, this book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, it took years for you to complete. So obviously it was a passion of yours. And I guess it's almost a rhetorical question at this point, but what inspired you to write it, Pat?
My head was getting so clogged up with the lies and then uncovering the truth. And as a professional investigative journalist of the last 30 years and having worked so many cases that we talk about in here, I felt most of them had been forgotten. The JFK case from nearly 50 years ago, I remember in 1966 reading a book by a man named Richard Popkin. I never heard of him before since. I don't know if he's done anything other than that. And he had some great questions about the discrepancy in the whole Oswald story, because Oswald was stopped for speeding in Dallas and when he was supposed to be in Russia in 1961. And so the two Oswalds was outstanding, but it was for 30 years before, and I can't take the credit for putting it together. But an author by the name of John Armstrong wrote a fabulous research book called Harvey and Lee, where he solved for me the question I'd had since 1966 or 63, really. How can a 17-year-old kid from New Orleans, of all places, the most distinguished accent in America, drop out of school and maybe, because it's been disputed also, but maybe he went to language school in Japan for 6 weeks in the Marines, and then he goes to Russia, and when he meets his future wife, Marina, he speaks the Russian language so fluently, she thinks he's a native. Now, there's something wrong with this story. And finally, John Armstrong uncovered it and proved that the second Oswald, Harvey, he calls him. I always called him the skinny Oswald because there were obviously two of them in pictures. But Harvey was born in New York of Russian immigrant parents, and he grew up speaking fluent Russian. And when the CIA, FBI discovered them in the mid-50s, they actually moved the family to New Orleans, and both those kids grew up in New Orleans in different junior high schools. They were blended together in 1958 when both were into the Marine Corps, and Lee actually disappeared through the cracks, and Harvey became Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, this is one of the stories that you write about, and why you're such a difficult interview for me, Pat, is because your book covers so many stories, and any one of them would certainly provide more than sufficient fodder for a full hour's worth of conversation. But I want to ask you that question now. Your book spans some of the biggest stories of the past half century. You mentioned the JFK assassination, Apollo 11, all the way up to contemporary stories such as 9/11 and the Obama citizenship controversy. Give us some examples, even if you just have to run through it as a bullet point, of some of the cases in which your research puts you at odds with the establishment line of a certain story.
Oh, on almost every one of them. I covered the Oklahoma City bombing for the People's Radio Network back in 95. And standing there looking at that building, and an eighth-grade kid could say to his dad, "Dad, this, I don't see how a bomb in a truck on the street could have done this." I mean, it was so obvious that the building was blown from the inside out. And that was even the news media story for the first 4 hours that morning. And I tell people, and I warn them in the book, that whenever something big happens, such as the Colorado shooting a week ago, listen to the news reports of the first few hours, because this is when the street news people are still telling the truth. They haven't been edited out yet. And that Oklahoma City story changed about 1 o'clock in the afternoon from a building, a gas explosion on the inside, to a truck bomb on the outside. These sorts of things happen all the time. So rather than me try to go down bullet by bullet, pick a case and let me give you a bullet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know we're coming close to a break, so I'll have to put that one off for the next one, because I know Pat Tillman's something I definitely want to cover, because you spend a lot of real estate talking about the Pat Tillman story, and you're very interesting there. So we'll talk about that in the following segment after the after the break. You also cover all of the assassinations or attempted assassinations over the course of the last 50 or so years, including King, Kennedy, as we just mentioned, George Wallace, Ronald Reagan. I got so many questions, but this is commercial radio and the breaks are hard. You can just answer yes or no on this one, and then we'll follow up on this in just a second. Have there been any assassinations or attempted assassinations in the last 50, 60 years where we got the straight story on?
Not one that I know of.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, we're about to take a break. When we come back, we've got much more with Pat Shannon, author of the book we're discussing right now, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. He is also a columnist with the American Free Press newspaper. Get all the news that is news about Pat Shannon at his website, patshannon.net, patshannon.net. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. As sad as it is, that despite having 2 hours left in tonight's show, we only have one more segment with the great Pat Shannon, patshannon.net. Now, remember it, P-A-T. S-H-A-N-N-A-N, patshannon.net. You can get his book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. And before we get into a couple of more of the many, many stories that you apply your research and your investigative journalistic technique to, Pat, I want to ask you a quick question, because this falls back into the story we opened up with. We were talking about how the media is skewering the young Greek athlete how they are burning Chick-fil-A at the stake, or at least attempting to do so. And this is something that you've talked about. How has television helped the establishment become more efficient in spreading misinformation?
By creating the lifestyles they've done in the movies and television, and of course Hollywood, and we know who controls all that. And it's been an obvious thing to me for a decade or more that it's geared at destroying Christianity and Christian morality in this nation. And so now you see the perverts that are together holding hands on TV. Not very much later do we see them holding hands in a grocery store.
Well, listen, that's short, simple, and to the point, and I don't think much more can be added to that, but this is the thing that gets me, and then we'll get back to your book, but I was talking about, you know, most people agree with this woman with regards to immigration. I mean, I can remember in 2006 when one of the amnesty bills was up, and Lou Dobbs had a poll out, or CNN had a poll out that Lou Dobbs reported, and over 90%, once again, over 90% of Americans were opposed to amnesty, just like over 90% of Americans are opposed to sodomite marriage. 90% plus is an overwhelming majority, but yet it seems as though people so readily swallow what the news media feeds them, or at least allows the perception of reality to silence them. Why do otherwise decent and right-thinking people let this happen, Pat?
You know, I think the media must have some kind of crew of experts to sit back and look for ways to nitpick these sorts of things. I mean, what if this had involved spaghetti and Italians? I mean, you know, I think the lady had a pretty intuitive joke myself. I thought it was kind of clever. But to tie that into racism is absolutely absurd. And so, we could tie it in to Italian food and Italian people or any other nationalities, and it would go over and with nothing but a laugh.
Well, that's right. I mean, certainly if you look at Dave Chappelle or Chris Rock or any of these black comedians who make a living of mocking and ridiculing white people, I mean, not only is that allowed and tolerated, they're banking millions of dollars to do so. So again, the double standard is egregious. And again, not only does the media lie to us, as your book title suggests, they also hate us, and I don't think that's putting too fine a point to it. But let's get back to your book, and it's a book, the title alone, such an attractive and profound title, should intrigue folks to looking into order it, which they can do at patshannon.net. Pat Tillman, now this is a story that you spend some time on. Remind us of who Pat Tillman was, and as you mentioned on your very website, it's a story that portrays the title of your book as well as anything. So tell us why it does, Pat.
Well, Pat Tillman, of course, was the poster boy for those who have forgotten 10 years ago. He was really the poster boy for war. He gives up a $3 million contract with Arizona in the National Football League. And he was a starter. He was a good defensive back and could have had a career for another 10 years, probably, up there, barring injury. But instead, he surrenders that lucrative contract to join his brother Kevin and go to war because he was incensed over the fraud of 911. I mean, he was another one who was fooled by that at that
right.
time. But nevertheless, it still reflects his red, white, and blue courage and, you know his blood and what he really wanted to stand for. And I was surprised that learning more about him and researching him, that I was surprised to learn that not only was he not a Christian, he wasn't even a right-wing thinker such as you and I. And so I think that's very unusual for such a left-winger. Very well-read individual, by the way. Quite an educated man and a brilliant man. But he was a left-winger who didn't even believe in God, and that's too bad. But nevertheless, for someone like this to come out of that realm and want to be patriotic, I thought was admirable. So he became naturally, with that kind of publicity, George Bush's poster boy for the
right.
war.
Yeah.
Now, what happened, though, after he got over there, he discovered some of the real situation that was going on, what he had really joined for, and it really got to him. So he became just as tough the opposite way with attitude, and began to correspond with some of the better known news correspondent in America, and stating his beliefs. And when he got home, he was going to become the poster boy for a war protest. And what he did discover, for your listeners who don't know, was, as Noah Chomsky reported after corresponding with him, that Tillman had told Chomsky, this comes right out of page 210 in my book, that he realized too late that he had been sent to Afghanistan to, quote, guard the poppy fields and protect American CIA drug investments for the U.S. banksters, not American freedoms. And so this really, really bothered Tillman. And he, unfortunately, he spoke out too much while he was still over there in danger. And the lies they told when he was killed, he was a war hero killed in battle. Then they gave him a Silver Star, at least his mother, posthumously. And just to further sell that ruse. And then too many people talked, and it came out that he had actually been shot by friendly fire. Then maybe it was not so friendly fire, but he was shot from 10 yards away. But I like this quote on page 209 of my book. Also, recently, General Wesley Clark came forward to publicly confirm that there was never any evidence of any accidental friendly fire being responsible for the death of Tillman, and that Army medical examiners concluded Tillman was shot with a three-shot burst to the head from just 10 yards away. Sounds like a CIA rub-out to me. And Clark concluded that orders came from the very top, that sounds like the White House to me, to cover up the murder of the former NFL star because they feared he was about to become an anti-war political icon. That's General Clark saying that.
That's right, absolutely right. Well, and this is the research and the sources that go into, this is the ingredients that Pat Shannon, our guest tonight, has put into his book. And folks, again, this book does not have a singular topic other than everything they ever told you was a lie. This book, again, as I said at the top of the interview, covers the biggest stories, all of them, of the past half century. JFK, Apollo 11, 9/11, Obama citizenship, the many assassinations or attempted assassinations during that time period, the Pat Tillman story, Oklahoma City, you name it, it's in there. And Pat, again, I want to stress, you are not writing your opinion on this. You're applying technique and journalistic technique into your findings, and that's what's in the book.
That's right. Well, my opinion really is in the title.
That's it. Well, and I think most people who listen to this show would certainly agree with you on that. And folks, we've had Pat on 2 weeks in a row now, I think, for maybe hour and 15 minutes total. Still just scratching the surface. There is so much more between the covers of this book. It's all there for you, again, at the risk of sounding repetitive, at patshannon.net. You can go and not only learn more about this book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, but his other titles, and you can order them there as well. And if that isn't enough, Pat Shannon, for you, why don't you subscribe to the American Free Press? I would certainly encourage you to do that and heartily endorse what you'll be getting. AmericanFreePress.net. You can read Pat Shannon every week in between reading his book, in between delivery dates. So, Pat, with that, I want to thank you again. I want to thank you again, my friend, for coming on. It has been entirely our pleasure.
Well, thank you. My article coming next week is a commentary on the Colorado situation and a tie-in with you probably know about, but most of your listeners and most of America will not know the story that happened in April, also right there in Aurora, Colorado, where at the church service where a man went berserk, crashed his car chasing someone in the parking lot just as the church ceremony was ending. A woman ran out, 67 years old, who happened to be mother of the pastor, to be a good Samaritan and help out if anyone was hurt. Instead, the driver, berserk, jumped out and shot her five times through the chest and killed her immediately. But the difference in the two Aurora stories, where even people who have the concealed weapon permit to carry are not allowed to carry them in public places like theaters and churches.
Right.
So we draw a great contrast here, but because in the church situation, the woman's nephew, who happened to be a Denver policeman and was off duty, but he was there in church, came out, realized what was happening, saw his aunt get shot down, pulled his his service revolver, drew a bead, and shot the guy through the head and killed him with one shot. Now, how come we never heard of this one?
Well, Pat, we'll have to let that question stand. The audience hopefully will answer it for themselves as they read your column in the American Free Press. We're out of time this hour. Pat, thanks for coming back with us. I really enjoyed it.
Talk to you later, James. Good night.
PatShannon.net, everybody. I'll be back with Keith Alexander. He's going to return from the green room for the second hour, and we're going to be talking about a lot of stories you don't want to miss, including the Israeli lawmaker that destroyed a copy of the New Testament while telling the media in Israel that all Christians belong in the garbage can. Coming up in the second hour. Stay tuned. Thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the Amen.